Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. So we're going to introduce everyone. Before, sorry about that. This will be a first in a series of 3 to 4 shiurim on Avodat Ha'ilan, which, as Zev reminds me, doesn't mean serving trees. We don't serve trees in Judaism. It means work that you do to grow, cultivate, and maintain trees. And today we're going to focus on that first step, which is actually planting the tree. Before I begin, just want to note that this shiur has been dedicated from our Day of Giving by Jonah and Elizabeth Turk, Kevin Wassermull, and Clifford and Rhoda Waxman. So thank you very much for that dedication. So I am not an expert in this regard at all, but now we are very environmentally friendly here in Beit Midrash Sefer Dov.
Yes.
Therefore, it's worth discussing how one actually nowadays usually goes about planting a tree. So it's just worth noting, we'll get to this later, but usually you don't plant a seed when you plant a tree. If you wanted to go buy a tree, you wouldn't take seeds and put them in the ground. That would take a very long time. So usually what you'll do is you'll go to a store, these things are sold. The trees have already been planted. They grow what we call a nursery. Kind of cute, just like a nursery for kids, a nursery for young plantlings. Usually, there are different types of trees that you can buy. Maybe the most common are those which are bald and burlap. What does that mean?
Rabbi Bergman, before we even get into the whole topic of the shiur, one thing of introduction is, when is a tree not a tree and when is a plant a tree? So in other words, a banana tree, we say bore pri adama. On blueberries, we say aates. And it has to do with the fact that they don't, whether they produce fruit year after year or whether they die off. But does this distinction in brachas having to do with fruit, which ultimately, I guess, affects Shemitah, do we use the same distinction as to what a tree is?
I think so. Yeah, we distinguish between trees and plants when it comes to Shvius as well. In terms of, well, let's just start off by saying that the Torah, we have prohibitions that relate to working the land and prohibitions that relate to working the tree. So both, in certain forms, will be forbidden. But I think when we talk about trees, what we're talking about that what we generally define as a tree. I don't know if I have a good agricultural definition in terms of what's a tree and what's just a plant and what's
a vegetable. But like in halacha, like a banana tree, we don't consider it a tree. But for shmita purposes, do we consider it a tree?
This is a good question. Let's think about that.
Yeah.
Let's just get started first, though. Thanks for that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right. If it endures from year to year, which reminds me, if the plant endures from year to year, it's considered a tree.
That's the bracha distinction. I just wonder if it rolled over into Shemitah. That's all.
Okay. Well, I'll just say that I'm not sure. It's a good question, and let me think about that and get back to you. Back to our little lesson on how to plant trees. So you have this sort of small plant, which is wrapped in roots in a pile of dirt in the burlap. Burlap is some sort of either woven fabric made of inorganic organic material. But you have this small little plant which is wrapped in its roots and soil around the tree. You dig a hole, you know, as deep as what we call the root ball, which is this assortment of roots and dirt wrapped by this burlap. You put it inside, you take off the wrapping. Once it's positioned, you remove the burlap. Then you fill the hole halfway with soil, you water it. After you fill the hole up completely, you'll create a ridge around the hole as a channel for watering it. And ultimately, after you're done watering it, you spread what we call mulch. Mulch is also this sort of assortment of organic material, like little pebbles, dirt, stuff like that, to keep the soil moist. And that is how one plants a tree. So now you could all go home and plant a tree, and it'll be very entertaining and environmentally friendly. Anyways, that's worth noting because when we talk about planting trees, it doesn't mean the same thing at first glance. We'll get back to this later when we talk about plants. So what is the nature of planting a tree during Shvius? So like many things, we actually have when we talk about noteya or any malacha, we often have a lot more information about the various forms of that malacha in Hilchos Shabbos. Because in the whole Shabbos, we spend a lot of time analyzing in depth each melacha and what constitutes that melacha. So we're going to start with an analysis in Hilchos Shabbos. As we've already noted, and Jeffrey loves to point out, you can't necessarily equate Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Shviyos, but we're going to see that that question plays a very prominent role in Hilchos Shviyos as well. So if you look in the first source I gave you on your sheet, source number one, it's the Gemara in Shabbos 73b, Ayin Gimel Mebet, where the Gemara describes the malacha of Zoraya. Zoraya is either the first or second malacha, depending upon your ordering. And the Gemara defines what is included in the malacha of planting. It says as follows, Tana, Hazoraya vehazomer vehanoteya vehamavrich veharmarkiv kulan malacha achat ein. Planting, pruning, planting a tree. Noteya means a tree. Zoraya means a plant. Mavrich and Markiva, I would argue, are two different types of grafting. If you look at the second source, I have here the Parish of Mishnah, the Rambam and Shviyas, who describes how Mavrich is when you take the branch of a tree, you insert it into the ground. Ultimately, from that branch, a new plant will grow. And that is called being mavrich. Markiv is what we call grafting, which you take the branch of one tree and insert it into the trunk of another tree. And that, what'd you say? Right. Okay, yeah. So Tortiner clarifies that when you do mavrich, you keep the branch attached to the tree and still insert it in the ground. That is what you do. Now, it's worth noting that you can't take two different species of trees and graft them together. That is that's klayim. However, you can take the same species of trees and combine them to produce a better form of the fruit. So these are the four things. And finally, we have and zomer. Zomer means pruning. So these four things are all one melacha. They're all under the category of zoreya. Now, before we go on in this Gemara, it's worth noting the following. In Shabbos, as we mentioned, we have avos and toldos. Avos are primary forms of melacha of labor, and toldos are subcategories of those melachos. Now, there's a confusing but important distinction to make when we talk about avos. There are 39 primary categories. However, within each category, there may be many forms of doing that type of labor, which are all constituted as avos. They're all primary. So, for instance, when we talk about cooking, cooking and baking are slightly different. Cooking involves water, baking does not. However, they're both considered avos. They're both considered primary forms of preparing food via a flame. And therefore, they are both avos, although they're only counted as one of the 39 malachos. As opposed to, for instance, it's a bit of a discussion, but if you use fire to melt or purify metal, so that might be not a primary category of malacha, that would be a tolda. So the question now arises, when we talk about all these different things which have to do with cultivating plant growth, are they all avos, or are some avos and some toldos? Again, they're all going to be under this greater category of quote-unquote planting, but which of these are avos and which of these are toldos? Now, from the first statement in this Gemara, they seem to all be on the same level. Again, it says, kulam malacha achatim, they're all one malacha. Ask the Gemara, my kamash alon, what does this come to teach us? Ha kamash alon, ha osem malachos har, me e malacha achas, enu chayev ela achas. The rule in Hilchos Shabbos is that if you do many actions which all fall into the category of one malacha, you're only obligated one karban. That's his first part of the Gemara. It seems like it's putting all of these things, planting trees, planting plants, or seeding, I'll use the word term seeding for now on, grafting, market, mavrich, it's all one thing. It's all Zoray. Then the Gemara continues and you get a different impression. Amrav Acha, Amrav Yechiyah Bar Ashi, Amrav Yami. Zomer Chayib Mishom Noteya. So pruning is a form of Noteya, which means planting a tree. Noteya, Mavrich, and Markiv Chaya Mishum Zoreya. As opposed to, and this is a very challenging statement, because now we're saying Noteya itself, planting trees, and Mavrich and Markiv are all a form of Zoreya, seeding. Now the Gemara implies that there's two sort of different categories. We can't, some things are Noteya, some things are Zoreya. Well, that's interesting. Now the Gemara challenges this and it says, wait a minute, Mishum Zoreya in Mishum Noteya lo? It's quite confusing. You just said that Zomer is Noteya, but Noteya itself is just Zoreya? And all these other things are just Zoreya or not Zoreya? Are not Noteya? What do you mean? That doesn't make any sense. Which the Gemara says, Mishum Ema Ach Mishum Zoreya. No. Noteya, Mavrich, and Markiv are all also Zoreya. They're both Zoreya and Noteya. This is all quite confusing. One question is we'll have to address in a second is why does it really matter whether it's Zoreya or Noteya? But also, is Zoreya enough? Is Noteya enough? Are they all of those? Are they different categories or the same category? You get sort of conflicting implications from this Gemara. And it doesn't stop. Amrav Kahana, Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim chayev mishum Zoreya. Chayev shayim, excuse me. Acha mishum kotzer v'acha mishum noteya. So first we say, if you're pruning a tree, and you are, which means, as we'll get to, removing the branches, dead branches of the tree that inhibit the growth of the tree, and you also want the wood for firewood, that's two malachot. It's kotzer, you're harvesting the wood, and it's noteya, because you're planting the tree. Rav Yosef, Haiman Zekatlas Basa, Chayev Mishum, Chayev Shayim Achas Mishum Kotzer, Vacham Mishum Noteya. Rabbi, Haiman Zekarnas Silka, Chayev Shayim Achas Mishum Kotzer, Vacham Mishum Zoreya. Not important for now, but there are three different things you can do here to be Chayev, both for removing something from the ground or from the tree, and for doing something to help plant growth. But sometimes the Gemara says it's Zoreya, and sometimes it says it's Noteya. Clearly, the Gemara is differentiating between Zoreya and Noteya, even though, what was the first line of this Gemara? Kulan, Melacha, Achas, Hate. It said they're all the same thing. So what's going on here? That's the question. We have implications from the Gemara. So you had two options here. You could either try to read it all together and say, no, what the Gemara really went was, either they're all the same or no, they're different. Or you could suggest that there's actually an argument here in the Gemara about how to define Noteya, Zoreya, Markiv, Mavrich, and Zomer. And that is indeed what we see in the Rishonim. First off, why does it matter whether they are an Avot or Toldot, or whether it's Mishum Noteya or Mishum Zoreya? So the Miyuchas Laran, it's not actually the Ran. This is a Rishon who was traditionally brought as the Ran, but we find out earlier that it's not the Ran. Be that as it may, he presents two Shitos in terms of this Gemara. In terms of why do we care? One is Hasra'a. There is a rule that before you are mechayev anybody for anything, you have to warn them. And you can't just say, oh, you can't do that on Shabbos. That's not good enough. You need to tell them exactly what they would be doing wrong. And the Gemara is saying here, if you tell someone, hey, if you see someone on Shabbos in the middle of pruning a tree and you tell them, hey, that's Zoreya, well, that's not good enough. Because if it's Noteya and not Zoreya, then you're giving them incorrect Hasra. The other opinion here is that it has to do with Chiyuv Chata'os. How many sin offerings do you need to bring? Meaning, one Av, quote unquote, and a number of Toldot are all relate to one Chiyuv. However, if you're going to argue Noteya and Zoreya are actually different Avot, then if you do one form of Noteya and one form of Zoreya, you're obligated in two different sacrifices. So that's why this matters on a practical level. But we'll see it might make a big difference in terms of Hilchot Shemitah. So how do we understand this Gemara? What's an Av? What's a Tolda? Rashi says everything is an Av except Zomer. Noteya, Mavrich, Markiv, Zoreya, they're all Avos, they're all primary forms of planting, except for Zomer. Why is Zomer different? Zomer means pruning. It means taking those dead sticks off the tree to enable the plant or tree to keep growing. Why should that not be an Av? Any thoughts? How does it differ from the rest of Zoreya? When you think about taking a branch off of a tree to help a tree grow, how does that differ from putting a seed in the ground?
It's not starting with something new.
Exactly. Thank you, Rabbi Yaris. Zomer, this actually to me makes a great deal of sense, right? All the others are implementing, you're initiating new plant growth. Zomer, it already is growing and you're helping it grow better. So while that will still be the general idea of cultivating plant growth, it might not be enough. That is Rashi's opinion. Zomer, which for the record we know is forbidden during Shvius, is a tolda. It is an outgrowth of Zoraya, but all the others are avos. Grama. In terms, I hear your point, in terms of the plant growth, it's a bit grumma-ish.
Yeah.
Right. 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 So Rabbi Chiner makes the point that it's also a much more indirect. When you plant, you're directly cultivating plant growth. When you prune, it's sort of indirect. You're removing an impediment and helping the tree do a better job of sending its nutrients to the live branches. So that might not be a very fair point. If you look at the Ritva brings two opinions. First, he quotes Tosfos. Tosfos says they're all avos. They're all avos. They're all primary forms of Zoraya. And that, to me, works with the first statement of the Gemara. Then he quotes the Ra'ah. That's when the Rebbe, usually, I believe, when the Ritva quotes his Rebbe, not Shere Rachmana Uparke, he's referring to the Ra'ah. And the Ra'ah says that no, only Noteya and Zoraya are Avos. The rest, Mavrich, Markiv, and Zomer, are all Toldos. This, I think, makes a great deal of sense as well. Zoraya and Noteya are really starting from scratch, planting something for the first time. Mavrich and Markiv are, although they do create new life, are a bit different. You're taking a pre-existing plant and combining it, or, you know, situating in a way that new plant will grow from that, you know? I guess sort of like Yesh Me'yesh versus Yesh Me'ayin, although it's not really Yesh Me'ayin. That's the closest we get to Yesh Me'ayin. Anyways, so that is the Ritva. And the Rambam, if you look in source number 6, also says they're all avos, and that will be very important to keep in mind. They're all avos according to the Rambam. The Reuchas Theron seems to argue that it's actually an argument in the Gemara. First, he quotes, look at source 7, Tana. Azoreya vazomer anoteya kulan malacha achahein. They're all one malacha. Pirish kulan avohein. They're all avos. Primary forms of Zoraya. Shehime inyan echad. They're all the same idea. It's all planting. Okay. What type of planting? It's not such a big deal. Whatever. It's all planting. Avos. Then he says, zomer chai mishanoteya. Pirish tolda denoteya hu. Umamech umarkiv nami tolda de Zoraya hi. My day Marlael Kumlach Akarina Zoraya Vinoteakai Inakula Toldos. What we said before, now we're saying is actually, we didn't mean they're all almost, we just meant Notea and Zoraya. Might be your attraction, it's sort of rejecting the Havamina from before. So you have these two ideas within the Gemara. Finally, you have Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel tells us something interesting. He says, we don't just have children and fathers and parents in Shabbos, you also have inaklach, you have grandchildren. His point is, you call Zoraya an Av, but we also call Noteya an Av, but Noteya is a told of Zoraya. So obviously Zoraya is the grand, you know, grandparent. Noteya is the child, and all the other ones are children, or at least Zomer is a child of Noteya and a grandchild of Zoraya. Why it makes a difference whether or not it's a parents or a grandparent, as opposed to, you know, that's an interesting question. But ultimately, he thinks only Zoraya is the Av. Interesting read by Rabbeinu Hanan. That being said, now we go back to our topic, which is Hilchos Shvius. So why does any of this matter? Well, it matters for the following reason. If you look in the Torah just describes things that you can't do, unfortunately, on Shvius, and it doesn't mention planting a tree. It mentions the big four, as you said many times, right? So chalos is ra, don't seed your field. Tizra means to take a seed. Karmacha lo tizmor. And do not prune your vineyards. Sviach kitzercha lo tiksor. We mentioned tzira. And it mentions bitzira, harvesting produce from trees. Planting a tree isn't mentioned. Now, just because it doesn't, it's not mentioned, does that necessarily mean it's not forbidden, midiraisa? Well, you wouldn't have said so necessarily, but as we've already seen a number of times this year, the Gemara Mole Katan does indeed make it seem that yes, it's only biblically forbidden if it's in the Torah. That's source number 10. Diktev Ashana Shiyet Shabbat Shabbaton Yal Aretz Acholos Izra Michtiz Mira Bechlal Zeria. The fact that it's Bechlal Zeria here is also significant given what we've already learned, because it says Mira should be Bechlal Matiyah. But we'll leave that for now. Pruning is just a form of a planting, of seeding. But zira mechlad zira, and harvesting from a tree is just the same as a form of harvesting generally. Why the Torah have to write them? You're only obligated for those, liable for those toldos, those subcategories. So as we noted, this isn't a bona fide proof, because it says you're not chayiv for other toldos. But what about other avos? Well, as we already noted, Rabbi Prochir mentioned, many mefarshim learned that this means you're not chayiv for anything but that which is written in the Torah, which would mean that either way, noteya is not going to be included. However, we have another Gemara in Gittin, and that makes it the conversation even more confusing. Says the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara here is talking about a question of whether or not we're koni shogig atumezin, meaning if you violate a halacha, let's say on Shabbos, accidentally, you know, you forget it's Shabbos and you cook, for instance, do we penalize you as if you had done it on purpose? That is the discussion here. And the Gemara says a contradiction for Rabbi Meir, because the Gemara had suggested for Rabbi Meir, the question is deoraisa. If you accidentally violated something on a biblical level, we will penalize you even if it was accidental. And the Gemara asks the question, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, but you're right, so I'll ask a contradiction, Rabbi Meir, on a biblical level. The Tanya b'Shabbat b'Shogeg Yekayim b'Mezid Ya'akor. It says in this Braita, if a person plants on Shabbos, notea, keep that in mind, that's the big word to keep in mind, it says notea means a tree. A person plants a tree on Shabbos. If it is accidental, he can keep the tree. If it was on purpose, he has to uproot the tree. Uvashvius bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid ya'akor. Divri Rabbi Meir. But on, if it's during Shemitah, if he plants the tree, either way, whether it's accidental or on purpose, he must uproot the tree. Rabbi Yehuda omer vashvius b'shogeg yikayim b'mezid ya'akor. Rebbehuda flips it. It's in the reverse. On Shvius, you're good. You can keep it at least if it was on, by accident. But if it was on purpose, uproot the tree. On Shabbos, you got to get rid of it anyway. And the Gemara says, "V'tameh tikshalcha higufa michti ha deoraisa veha deoraisa maishna Shabbos umaishna Shvius." Says the Gemara, wait, planting a tree on Shabbos and planting a tree during Shvius are both deoraisa. They're biblical prohibitions. If so, why are you distinguishing between them? This could have been a question on either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, as the portion point out. But the point clearly is, from this Gemara, that planting a tree during Shvius is deoraisa, notwithstanding the Gemara in Moed Katan, at least at first glance. There's no reason to assume that there is a contradiction. So, a simple way to explain this would be to say that avos, no matter what, are going to be deoraisa. And that begs the question, is noteya an av or not? So, just taking a step back here before we move on, if you argued, I think there are three things you can claim that noteya, conceptually. One is that you could say that it's ultimately the same exact thing as zareya, at least halachically. Whether you're planting a tree or planting a plant, doesn't really matter. You're planting. Planting is planting. That is deoraisa. Whatever it is, it's not even two forms of a primary category of labor. They're the same thing. That would be one option. If that was the case, that would be the easiest way to explain why noteya would be deoraisa. And that would explain the Gemara and Gittin. Alternatively, you could suggest that noteia is not the same as zoraia, but at least an ah. It's still a primary form of planting, and all primary forms of planting, pruning, and harvesting are all biblically forbidden during Shvius. The Gemara, when it said other toldos are not chayav, is specific. It means other toldos, not other avos. Finally, if you argue, like for instance, Reino Hanano argued that notea is a tolda, so then we have a problem. Why is this Gemara saying it's deoraisa? It certainly should not be deoraisa during Shvius. So this discussion as to whether or not notea is deoraisa or rabbanon is also an argument among the Rishonim. One of the vantage points for assessing this machlokas is the idea of Tosefes Shvius, something we mentioned a few times this year, which is that even before Shvius proper starts, even before the actual Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, there is, at least in time of the Mikdash, a biblical and other rabbinic prohibitions against doing certain types of labor in the field and for trees before the Shemitah year. And there's something interesting you find about what types of work you can't do before Shemitah. The Mishnah in Shvius tells us that already for a while before Rosh Hashanah, depending on the tree, either from Pesach or from Shavuos, you can't plow a field. And you can't plow a field of trees from Shavuos, or at least sometime close to Shavuos. However, that's when it comes to plowing. What about planting a tree for the first time? What about putting the tree plant in the ground to plant the tree? How long can you not do that before Shemitah? So the Mishnah in source number 13 says as follows. Ein notin ve'ein mavrichin ve'ein markirin eres shvius pachot mishloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah. We'll leave it at that. So actually, let's go through the whole Mishnah. The Tanna Kamma says you have 30 days. Once you get to 30 days before Shemitah, you can't plant any more new trees. Or Mavrich or Market, 30 days before. Once you're within 30 days, that's too late. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda says, Kar kava she'ina koleta l'shol she'yamim she'ina koleta. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda saying that 3 days, as long as you had 3 days before Shavuos, at least you don't have to uproot what you planted. And Yosef and Shimon require shtei shabbatot, 2 weeks. Be that as it may, this is quite interesting, isn't it? When it came to plowing, we had months before Shemitah proper that you're not allowed to plow the field. But when it comes to planting, you should be able to do it right before Shemitah. Why? Isn't planting the tree, bringing it into existence, more fundamental than just plowing the field so that later you can plant? Why should this be? So the Rosh is bothered with this, and he presents 2 answers. He says, he quotes Yerushalmi. Why do we say until Shavuos? Because up until Shavuos, when you plow the field of trees, it looks like you're doing it not for the next year, but for that year. It's still good for the fruits on the tree to plow the field until Shavuos. But after Shavuos, it's bad for the fruit. Therefore, why must you be plowing? You must be plowing in preparation for the next year, which is Shemitah, and that's not okay. Then the Gemara says, but what about trees that don't bear fruit, right? What about trees that don't bear any fruit at all? That also it says you can't do. So until then, you're thickening the beams, but afterward, you're weakening the tree by plowing. So says the Rosh. Now I understand why it says that you only can't plant a tree within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah. And he asks, I don't understand. You're going to tell me that, let's say, 35 days before Shemitah, you're allowed to plant a tree, but you can't plow? That makes no sense. No, it's a specific problem with plowing. Planting a tree is always helpful. But plowing? Plowing is no longer helpful for sheshes. It's no longer helpful in the 6 year. It looks like you're preparing the share for shvi, the field for shvi's, and that's a problem. Then he gets to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam refers to Loach Mir Metzia Mishan Demetzia Ein Tosefes Shvi'es Zeoraisa Ela Becharisha. Says Rabbeinu Tam, and the wording is actually important here. I'll tell you why we're more mahmir by Harisha, because Harisha is a biblical prohibition during Tosefes Shvi'es. Harisha is biblical. Planting a tree is derabanan. Planting a tree, at least during Tosefes Shvi'es, is a rabbinic prohibition. So we're more lenient. Simple explanation. Not, you don't need to get so complicated. That's the reason. And you're the Rosh, Rosh Mishan, looks at Rabbeinu Tam and says, no way, can't be. He says, it can't be. Take a look at the bold here. Actually, 1 second. Ella Becharisha. Bechara comes Rosh Hashanah. He says, wait, in the first back of Rosh Hashanah, we start Shilam Miksim Niksid. Becharish Bekatsir Tishbos. We say Harisha. We learn the prohibition against plowing from this pasuk. Umihu. First of all, wait. There are other opinions that learn from Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, the prohibition against Tosefes Shvi'es. But oh, what are you talking claw? It can't be. It has to be biblical. I'm not sure what to do with the word Becharisha here in this Rosh. But he's talking about Natiya. Tiv Karmachalotizmor. It says you can't prune the tree or your vineyard. Mekoshikin Natiya. Certainly, if pruning is biblically prohibited, then planting a tree to begin with must be prohibited. Dehi ikur melachat fei. It's a more primary form of labor. Can a mukhaf is Shabbos, ayin gimel, the zomer told of the Zareah. We say in Shabbos that zomer is a subcategory of seeding. V'kol shekein notea, the domel is Zareah fei. Certainly notea, which is more like Zareah, has to be prohibited. If zomer, which is a tolda, is prohibited, then certainly notea must be prohibited. So Rosh is wrong. Can't be. And the Rosh says this in the beginning of, on that Mishnah, and Perek Beis Mishnah as well. Don't tell me that notea is a tolda, is certainly an av. And he notes that, you're right, even though everybody will agree it's not permitted to plant a tree within those 30 days, if he was just saying that still, once you do it, you don't have to uproot it. But certainly, Natiya is ushered during Tosefes Shvi'es. Heaven forfend to plant a tree during Tosefes Shvi'es. It's certainly biblical. Now, it's just worth noting that the way the Rosh interprets Rabbeinu Tam isn't so clear. It's not clear that Rabbeinu Tam is saying generally that Harisha, rather, Natiya, that planting a tree is mutter during Shvi'es on a biblical level. He might just be saying during the additional period before Shvi'es, that during Tosefes Shvi'es specifically, the Tia is Derabanan. That's how the Tosfos Rosh interprets Rabbeinu Tam in Source 15. But as we will see, we had, at least in the Rosh, this sort of argument. Now, the question is going to be as follows. If you assume that Notea is indeed Dioraita, what is it? I need a pasuk in the end of the day. You can yell and scream, Kava Homer, Kava Homer, Kava Homer. That's all great, but we still need a verse in the Bible telling me I can't plant a tree during Shvi'es. What is that verse? So, here are two different approaches. One approach is that Notea is Zomer. It's a call, the Homer from Zomer. If Zomer is forbidden, then this also must be forbidden. That is one approach. However, there's another approach, which I think relates to our original question, which is, what is Notea? So if you argue that either Notea is an Av, or that it's the same as Zoreah, literally the same, then it's going to be Zoreah. When the Torah says, Sarcha lo sizra, it doesn't just mean you can't plant a plant in your field, it means you can't plant a tree too. So this is the opinion of the Rishlomo Zalman Orbach Lamin Chashlomo. Ayakam Barash, Hasovra Dinatiya, Asura Minatora, Beshvias, the Dalmi Lazmira, with the lower Karbana Tam. So I'm not sure the way he even paraphrases it, but he says the Rosh Mishan says Natiya is a biblical prohibition because it's like Zomer. Yine Be'ikra Din Mephora Shachora Kavate Begidin. In terms of the conclusion that it's biblical, we have a Gemara in Gittin that says that it's a Deoraisa. So Amru Lehejah, Dinatiya Beshabes, Deoraisa, Beshvias, Deoraisa. Ah, Mashakazi, the Dalmi Lazmira, but that which he writes at Zomer, I don't think so. Nirlisha Iker Kavanasa the Dami Lizria. Rakhe Makom Lomar Dilano Shiny. He really means it's Zorea. But you could have said, wait, plants and trees are not the same. Right? But it's not so, because Zomer is a malacha for trees, and that's the Oraisa. So therefore, we're equating trees and plants, and therefore it must be an Otea Zeraisa also. Mikol Makom, Isurud Noteahu Mishum Zria. It's Mishum Zria. The Rekirkus, which we'll get back to in a bit, commenting on the Rambam, says it more succinctly. Rabbeinu Shimshon Nerish Apolik Notea, Vesomer Dinotea Vizorea Echadhu. He simply says it's the same as Zorea. It's he, the same thing. So that is the opinion of the Rosh Mishans. Nafkamina, in terms of whether you're simply arguing that it's the same, or you're saying that avos are also chayav, maybe, what about mavrich and marki? What about grafting during shvias? Is that deoraisa, or is that derabanan? If you argue that the point he's making is that it's just inconceivable that if zomer etolda is chayav, that avos won't be chayav, then you should probably include mavrich and marked also as a biblical prohibition. If you're saying no, the point is that Zorea and Otea are literally the same, then there's no need to include mavrich and marked. So we have an opinion on the book saying that Natia is deoraisa. However, then we have the Rambam. As Rigorchina has noted, the Rambam seems to indicate that indeed, only, at least in some places, that only what's listed explicitly in the pasuk is a biblical prohibition. Paka Horesh in previous weeks, but the Rambam certainly doesn't seem to think, or in fact, he says it pretty explicitly, that even other avos, which are not part of the big four mentioned explicitly in the Torah, are all derabanan. And it sounds like even Notea is derabanan. But the problem is twofold. We have two problems in the Rambam. And the Michas Chinuch notes both of them. I actually brought up here twice, but we'll go with Michas Chinuch here. That was an accident. Either way, Michas Chinuch says, number one, we have a textual problem. We have a source against the Rambam. He says, L'chora Tamua, look at the third to last line, Me'ashas Gidin, Dintia Aser Me'atora. You see from the Gemara and Gidin, it's biblical. Hanotea B'shviyas Mikti Ha'daraisa V'ha'daraisa. What's the Rambam going to do with the source? Problem number one. He says, for that, maybe I have an answer. The Michas Chinuch here means is that, as we saw, I believe a few weeks ago already, a few months ago, the Gemara Moed Katan suggests that there is an opinion that thinks all of the toldos, all those different forms of taking branches off trees, there's a long list. The Braisa, Kirso, Mizari, and all these different things are all Dioraisa from the general rule of Karma Chalo, Sad Chalo. And we don't paskin that way, we paskin only the big four Dioraisa. So maybe that Gemara is Shaloke Ochasa, and we think you could argue that Notea is Rabbana. There's another problem, a logical problem. It just conceptually makes no sense, says the Michas Chinuch. I don't understand. Akufa Davar Tzarachin, Dinatia Yiya Kal Mizmira. I don't get it. Netia should be less stringent than Zomer, which is simply, as Rabbi Torchina said, indirect, a goring. What are you doing when you're doing Zomer? You're removing something from the tree, which is an impediment to help the tree grow better. But to actually grow a tree is rabbinic? That makes no sense. I don't get it, says the Michas Chinuch. So how do we explain this Rambam? We're going to have essentially two different approaches. One approach is to suggest that indeed the Rambam thinks Notea is derabanan. And then we have to sort of square away the Gemara and Gidin, which we can, I guess, say is the Shloka Hilchasab. We have to sort of explain Misvara, why it would be that it would be derabanan if Zomer is deoraisa. The other approach is to say that really the Rambam meant also it's deoraisa, it's just not, either there are different forms of Zeria or that it might not be its own independent prohibition, but it might be deoraisa for other reasons. Assuming the Rambam thinks it's derabanan, so how do we explain the Rambam? The Mari Kirkus in source number 20 essentially says, in Shmita V'Yovel on this Rambam, argues that, look, Shmita is just sort of different. You're right, you would think it's deoraisa, but the Gemara tells us in Shmias, or in Moed Katan, rather, that in terms of Hilchos Shmita, for another reason, it's only the specific things the Torah mentioned. You can't extrapolate and think about Svaras, Kal Vachomer. No, whatever's in there, pasuk, is biblical. Everything else is the rabbanon. Take a look here from four lines up in source number 20. See that four lines up? It seems very difficult. Right, that harisha should be biblical, he's arguing, but the tia is mutter. Think the Torah needed to explicate and specify the four types of labor that are prohibited. All you have is what's in the Torah. Then or else I would have known one from the other. Basically, Mari Kirkus says, stop thinking so hard. Whatever the Torah says is biblical, is biblical. Whatever is, it isn't. Does it make sense logically? Maybe not, but who cares? Just the way it works. God can forbid what he wants and, permit what he wants. Not for us to sort of question that. However, there's another approach which I actually enjoy a bit more, and that is that of the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal in Torah 22 has two different approaches to explain this Rambam. One, more specifically in terms of Noteya and Shvius, and then one more generally in terms of Shabbos during Shvius. His first approach is very innovative. He says, wait, we're comparing Zoreya to Noteya. Now, when it comes to Shvius, something we've noted in the past or suggested in the past, not everything that grows from the ground is quote-unquote Shvius, right? There are certain things that have Kedusha Shvius and certain things that don't. Only the fruit of the tree has Kedusha Shvius. The branches of the tree do not have Kedusha Shvius. When you plant a tree, therefore, it's different than Zoreya. When you plant a tree, the thing that that actually matters, that we focus on, which is the pre is the focus. The Kedusha Shvius is the focus of Malacha on Shvius, and that doesn't grow from the ground. Zoreya, the produce that grows from the ground that you're directly involved with, has Kedusha Shvius. Therefore, he suggests that because it's removed in that way, you plant a tree which produces a fruit which has Kedusha Shvius, it's one step removed. Therefore, in terms of Noteya, even though Noteya is a Tolda, an Av on Shabbos, and that's one just important parenthetical, but the Egle Tal takes the Gemara very seriously when it says Toldos are not all the Toldos not in the Pasuk are permitted during Shvius, biblically, and the Avos are not. He thinks it really means Avos versus Toldos. And therefore, if it's an Av, it should be prohibited during Shvius. So he's saying, why is Matia a Tolda, evidently, in Shvius, and an Av in Shabbos? That's how he understands. The suggestion is that the way we define Malacha in Shvius is focused on Kedusha Shvius, the fruit. And since Netiyah is less directly related to the fruit, therefore it is Dirabbanan. But then he says,
so when you prune a tree, when you prune the tree, so is that you're growing the tree, or is that because of you're helping it to make a fruit?
You're asking from Zomer. So I think he responds, Zomer is a tolda, but the Torah said it's usher. Right? His problem is that why is Netiyah Noten the way he sees it? Why is Notay an Av in Hilchos Shabbos and a Tolda in Hilchos Shvius? That's his problem.
Okay.
He has no problem with it being Usser or Mutter. He just wants to know in terms of the Av and the Tolda, and he says you have to define Avos and Toldos differently in terms of Shabbos and Shvius. Zomer is in the Torah. The Gemara says that all Toldos written in the Torah are Usser. So it's fine that Zomer is indirect. You're making a great point, as Rabbi Chiner also said. It's certainly less direct than planting, but that's fine. The Torah says it's forbidden, so it's forbidden.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, there you have it. So another suggestion here we have from apparently Rabbi Mullen's father-in-law is that it depends that only things which will have an effect in that year during Shvius are going to be prohibited. Since Noteya takes a long time for the tree to actually grow and produce fruit, therefore it's not prohibited. You have other suggestions too. I saw one that you know, the fruit of the tree is Arla during the first years, and therefore it's not going to be, you know, prohibited. But I wanted to get to another one, which is more general, which is the other chiluk here in the Eglita between Shvius and Shabbos. He says, so he says as follows, Mashakots of Rashi Zal, Hana, the Mavak, Mark of Nami Hashibia, the Rambam, Horse of Nami Zomer. He says, okay, I saw Moteab. What about all the other things? Mavrik, Markib. The Rashi and the Rambam think all five, and even Zomer, are all avos and Shabbos, and Shvius are clearly toldos. So what's going on? I don't get it. He says, so he says as follows. Then the Och Malachas Kitsira Khashiva Rambam Boatzer Ab Kimo Kotzer Vishas Mlaikatanal Mafarash Shavi Tolda. Even Boatzer, which is forbidden during Shvius, is categorized as a Tolda in the Gemara Mlaikatan. But the Rambam says it's an Av, so what's going on? The Hanaba that Yishchiluk ben Shabbos to Shvius. There's a difference between Shabbos and Shvius. The Zelal Shon Rambam, the Gabe, Mavrich, Lamark of Zomer Shem Av, Kimo Zereyasha, called Achas Mehem. What you're trying to do is cause something to sprout. They all have the same goal. The king gabi boatzer, goder, mosek, ore, shem av kmo kotzer, shakol achas lakar davar nigidul mischavin. All these different types of harvesting is all the same goal and idea. You're taking something from its place of growth. Ah, mishom shakavana achas havi. The way that you're doing it, the method you're doing to produce result is a bit different. Indeed, it's not the same. Because your intention, your mental goal is different, they're all of us. Shabbos, the definition of malacha is malachas masheves, which I guess loosely can be translated as creative activity. Therefore, it depends upon your goal, your thought process, and everything which has the same goal can be classified as an av. But that's for Shabbos. Shabbos is Melechas Masheves. Interestingly, he claims Shvius does not require Melechas Masheves. Avayin Shvius Kasuratosas Moikatan. Gabi Shvius will be Ino Melechas Masheves. The Chavon de Ein Zin Melechas Masheves be Shvius are Karchach Lohai bin Av Brak Tolda. Essentially, Shabbos is very goal-oriented, thought-oriented. Shvius is not. It's very specialized. You know, so as, for instance, we'll hopefully see in a few weeks that, you know, there are a million types of ways that you can prune a tree. And I don't think there's Kirsum, there's Zero, there's, you know, so Zimor, there's like 15 birds in the Gemara. And to me, because I am not a farmer, they're all the exact same thing. You're taking stuff off the tree to make it grow better. But if I was a farmer, I would say, no, it's a little bit different. There's wet branches, you know, dead branches. They're all different types of things you can take off of a tree. And in Shvius, that matters. The specific approach you have toward accomplishing the goal does differentiate the different types of activity. Therefore, in Shvius, we can say it's not conceptually crazy. The way that you do something matters. And therefore, Zomer can be a can be Usher, and Noteya can be a Tolda, and Toldos are Mutter if they're not in the Torah. So that's the Egletal. That's all assuming that indeed it is Dirabanan according to the Rambam. However, there is another approach in the Acharonim which suggests that no, even the Rambam argues that it is D'oraisa. However, you don't get Malkus for it. You get Malkus Mardus D'Rabbanan, even though it's D'oraisa. So first you have the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Torah 23 says that it's a technicality. Right? He quotes the Gemara in Gittin, and he says, I don't understand the Rambam. I don't understand. The Efshar D'Havi B'chal Ein Mazhirin Min Hadein Elakach Bikach In Lokin Alatiya Afagav Dehavi Dioraisa. Really, it is Dioraisa. That's the Gemara getting proved. But we have a rule. The rule is when you learn something out of a Kal V'Chomer, you can't get lashes for it. And the Rosh is telling us, how do you know Natiya is Asher on Shvius? It's a Kal V'Chomer from pruning, from Zimor. You don't get lashes when you learn something out of a Kal V'Chomer. So it's a technicality. that's the way that the I don't love the Chazon Ish because it's not like the Rosh can make up his own Kal V'Chomer. I think he's simply saying this logically. It doesn't make sense to say that Zomer would be Chayev and Notea wouldn't, and therefore he sort of have to categorize it differently. But that's his approach. Rav Kook has a more fundamental distinction here, which we're going to get to if we have time in just a few minutes, which is it depends on how you plant. And this relates to our original discussion and my little tree planting lesson and introduction. So usually when you plant a tree, you don't take a seed from a fruit and plant it in the ground. That takes forever. You take a plantling, we call a little, plantling with a few little roots, and you put it in the ground. You transplant it. That's what you do. Now, however, you could conceivably take a fruit seed and plant it in the ground. And if you do it right and you cultivate it the right way, eventually it will grow into a tree. That's what they do at the tree store. It didn't come from nowhere, right? They did that. You're not doing that, but they did that. So that being the case, says Rav Kook, that's the difference. When we talk about Zoreya, the Lashon HaTorah refers to any planting that you do via seeding. As long as you're using a seed, whether you're planting, a plant, something that grows in the ground, or you're planting a tree, that's all Zoreya, even though the Lashon Chachamim, rabbinic language, we call that Noteya, because ultimately it's a tree. Therefore, the Rambam, says Rav Kook, who says that it's the Rabbanon, that's referring to what we call Noteya, planting a tree by putting in a plantling in the ground. When the Gemara in Gittin says, this is what he's arguing, take it or leave it. When the Gemara in Gittin says that Noteya is the Oraisa, it means via Zriya, via planting a fruit seed, which ultimately grows into a tree. Let's take a look at the answer here of Yesh Lomar, the second little paragraph. Yesh Lomar, Shebechlan Netiyah Kulim Shnei Ofanei HaNetiyah. Netiyah is eight, Ayadei Ana, Vishoresh HaNishal Bakarka, Vigamei Degarin Oprishe Motziyem Etzeilon. You can either plant by taking a small tree with branches and roots and planting that in the ground, or you can take a seed and put that in the ground. Shneim Him Bechlan Netiyah. They're both called Noteya, at least rabbinically. Right? It calls planting the ego as the nut and planting the little branch both noten, netiyah. The netiyah is ushe de gara pre poshed ushe de gri zriya. But using the seeds also zriya, biblically. Legabe isher shvias. Came in she derech zriya below. That's like haibo, it should say derech netiyah. And he brings a proof from the Rambam. Kolashen Rambam. The chimutr la erev. La'arev zera ilanos. I'm sorry, I missed that. But also lazarem ke'echad. La'arev zera ilanos or lazarem planting. He says with a seed, the seed of a tree. This is very important. Rav Kook is focusing, and we determine, and that's what we'll end with. We determine netiyah versus ria depends on how the method of planting, not the result, but the method of planting. Zria means a seed. Netiyah means a plant. And therefore, when the Rambam says that it's the Rabbanon, that refers to taking a small tree plant and putting that in the ground. The Gemara in Gittin refers to taking a seed, a fruit seed, which ultimately produces a tree. Finally, you have the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan isn't addressing this, but other Achronim do. The Aruch HaShulchan has a really interesting idea, which I actually find very compelling. He says, when the Gemara in Moed Katan says that everything beside from the big four are D'oraisa, it doesn't mean everything else is D'Rabbanon. It means that all the other ones aren't included in the specific prohibitions of Sachal Osizra, Vakarmachal Osizmor. In terms of including them in this claw of Avodah of Avilanos and Avodas Hasadeh, that's the Rabbanon, that's an Asmachta. But they're all included in the Asi of Bishav Saha Aretz, the notion of letting the land rest, in that Asi of Shabbaton, which might be a bit different. But so they're all D'oraisa, everything. Here's some zero at all of these wonderful things that we do in the field and on trees. They're all a biblical prohibition on shvias. You just don't get a law. There's no, specific prohibition. It's a general assay of letting the land rest. And some suggest that's what the Rambam means. In Gideon, it's D'oraisa, not because there's a specific noteya or zom or anything. It's not a law. It's v'shav sa'aretz. You're violating the prohibition against, or the assay, the commandment to let the field rest during Shvias, when you plant a tree, and therefore the Gemara wants to know, why aren't you penalizing the person who does that? Because it is a biblical prohibition. Okay, we have a few minutes left, so I can either stop here if anyone has a question, or we can start the next little topic. Questions, observations? Okay, so we will at least continue. This begs the question, for Cook specifically, how do you define planting and seeding? Should it be contingent on the method that you use, or should it be contingent on the result? Meaning, what if I use a seed to plant a tree? Is that Zriya or Natiya? And the opposite, what if I use a plantling to create a plant and not a seed? Should those be Zoraisa or Derabanan, assuming you think that only Zriya is Zoraisa and Natiya is Derabanan? That is the question. So one way at least to start grappling with this question is to look at other areas of halacha. Which is always sort of an interesting question. Can you necessarily compare? But at least it's a helpful for background. So at least we'll do the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, and we'll leave it at that. The Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni Netzer Avayi is talking about the halachos of Netzer Avayi, right? That when you grow a tree, for the first 3 years, the fruits are considered arla. In the fourth year, there's something called Netzer Avayi, where you either redeem the fruits or you take them to Yerushalayim to eat them there. Says the Rambam, Echad anotea gar'ina o yichor mina ilan o sh'akar akola ilan mimakomo v'not t'makamacher. Rather, you plant a seed or a plantling from the tree, or you uproot the whole tree from its place and transplant it elsewhere. Hare zeh chayav v'arla. It's all arla. I don't care how you plant the tree. A tree is a tree. Umona mishan netziata, and you plant it from the time, and you count the years from the time you plant it. Ziazov lo akro, this is important for another discussion. Ba'akam leis b'tav afar, im yachol lichiyot ilu lo milis b'tav reis apater, im lav reis lek mosh akro natzim achayim. What if I just move a tree? I shake it, but I don't transplant it completely. So then it depends. If it wouldn't have lived, it would have died unless you refilled it, the surrounding area with dirt. That's a new planting, you count from then. Otherwise, it's the same life of the tree and you continue the count. Be that as it may, the Rambam is telling us here, it doesn't matter how you plant the tree, a tree is a tree. However, there is another area of halacha where we have this question, that is the area of plyon. We know that you're not supposed to plant different seeds together, and you also have something called kilei ilanos. However, the Michasun and the Shulchan Aruch tell us there's a difference. Kilei ilanos harim hel b'chlal lav zeh shel sachalos zizra klayim. Planting trees are included in this prohibition against planting klayim. V'amam eina iser b'kilei ilanos al derech harkava. When it comes to trees, the only iser is grafting. Gon shehirkav yichor shel tapua be'esro. You combine an apple and esrog tree. If you plant a tree seed with other plants, you can do that. It's okay to plant a seed of a tree with the seed of other plants. It's not included in the Isra of Zriyas Kilayim, except for Kerem, which is an exception. So we have two paradigms here. We have the paradigm of Arla and Netzer Avayi, where it seems to not make a difference what you do, and we're focusing on the result of the tree. And we also have the paradigm of Klayim, where it does make a big difference, and we're saying planting Klayim trees through seeding isn't considered Zriya at all. It's Nitya. And the question is, what should be the appropriate paradigm to use for understanding Nitya during Shvias? So a brief review, we talked about the Isser and Netiyah on Shabbos. We discussed whether it's an Av or a Tolda. There seem to be various different approaches. How does that translate to Shvius? Here you have an argument among the Mefarshim. The simple explanation of the Rosh says it's D'oraisa. The Rambam, the simple explanation is D'rabbanan. We talked about how that might be. And we also discussed the question of what is considered Tria. Next time we'll continue talking about that. And we'll also hopefully get to the question of, number one, what about planting a tree which doesn't bear fruit during Shvius? And number two, What about planting a tree right before Shvius, which will only take root during Shvius itself? Should that be biblically prohibited? Okay. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Hey, good Shabbos.